If we believe that we're in the end times and we are going to have to be willing and yielded to God to allow him to endue us with that power to be victorious. Because if we do not have God's power, we will not walk his ways. We will be ashamed of him. But if we have his power and his spirit working, enabling us, then we will be victorious. We know the story here of Goliath, David and Goliath. And we know that he was speaking very harsh words, even against God, defying his armies. And what was David doing? He was supposed to bring them some things. And it's unique that the army, when Goliath would rise and he would, you know, start speaking, they would just run away from there. They were ashamed. They were afraid of Goliath. So one strong, mighty man in his own eyes, coming in his own way, not filled with God's spirit, against God, was scaring them. We have a common enemy in our lives. The enemy, the devil, is coming that same way. And he makes us feel as if we cannot overcome. You will not overcome this. You don't have what it takes. How did he come towards David when David came up to him? I'm going to feed you to the dogs. He was going to take care of David. But he did not realize the power that David was coming in was not his own. He even tried on the armor. He was all geared up. What did he say? I have not proved this armor. I haven't proved this. I don't know if this is going to do the thing that I need it to do. So he took it off, and what did he say? He said, I come in the name of the Lord. And that is how we need to come when we're battling, when there's things that we need to overcome and we need to be victorious. We need to come in the name of the Lord. Let God be the one who gives us the victory, and God will receive praise. So let's read here a portion of this. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochsho, maybe I'm not saying this right, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between that same place and Azekah and Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and the Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat. And I'm not sure why it has this mixed up here. I'm going to quickly turn there in this other. I want to read this here so that we get the whole point of this. With a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. What kind of power did they come in? when David came and he was supposed to be fighting, what was given to him? The gear that the soldiers would wear. They came in their own power. They came in their own strength. That's why they were afraid. Many times the enemy has us in the same place. Fight with me. You don't have what it takes. If we go in our own strength, then there's not going to be victory. But if we come the way David did here against the enemy, there's victory. Because God's power is able to make us victorious. And it's not in us ourselves, but we invite God to do that in us. And that's why I had us pray first. We want to hear from the Lord tonight and be challenged to allow him to do this in our lives. So it's not just any man that this guy is, but he's like the enemy of their souls. He was making them sorely afraid. And many people today are under that same condition, under that same cloud, because they're not looking to God to be victorious, but they're looking to themselves. They come with their own gear. Well, I'm doing such and such a thing right, and because of that, I'm going to somehow be able to overcome. And that's not true. If we want to overcome the enemy of our souls, it must be done in the same way as what we find in God's Word, that through the power of God's Holy Spirit invested in our lives, we harness that power, and then there's victory. So they were greatly afraid. So, but David went and returned. I'm going to skip some verses. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses upon the captain of their 1,000. And look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran to the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Again, you see the same thing. How many times have you and I just said, well, I'm just defeated, I just can't do this, and we just, instead of standing there in God's power against the enemy, we just yield to him and say, yeah, you are stronger than I am. Well, he is. We personally are no match for the enemy. So how many times do we find ourselves in that same condition where we're just simply saying, well, okay, I'm agreeing with you. I don't have what it takes. But if we say that we are God's children, and we allow the enemy to lie to us and distract us with such lies, what are we yielding to? Then we are going to be downcast. We're going to look at the size of the enemy, and we're going to be like, okay, yeah, I just got to walk away from here. I'm powerless. No, I'm here tonight to tell you that you are not powerless. I'm here tonight to tell you that you need to stop yielding to the things that the enemy has been telling you. The enemy is doing no different to us today than what Goliath did here to the armies of Israel. You're defeated. Come and fight with me. Yeah, there's a fight. All of us have experienced, you know, in some way or another, that there's a fight, there's a battle. Are we believing the enemy? And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this enemy of our souls that he should defy us, the people of God? That he should run us down? Who is he? Is he a match for our God? Does our God, in the power that he has given to us, does God bend down to what the enemy wants? Does he have more power than the enemy? Does God have what it takes to put the enemy down? We read about this in Scripture. The enemy does not win. But sometimes we just allow him to speak that little word into our ear. You just can't do it. Okay, well, then I can't. I'll just keep going. It does not have to be that way. And God does not want it to be that way. Because we're his children. And when his spirit is invested into our life, then there's power. And tonight, we're here to allow God to remind us of that same thing. That when we've been filled with his spirit, then we have the power to be victorious. The people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. So now he was siding with the enemy. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. David is a young man. His brother can't stand it that he would come to check out what is happening and how David would come to see the battle. Does David have what it takes to take down this enemy? Does he have what it takes? Excuse me. No, he doesn't have what it takes. But what is with him and in him is the power that he needs to take the enemy down. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when you start looking at some of the scriptures that we're going to read after we read this portion of scripture, it's just like, wow. Where have I walked? Have I allowed God or have I not allowed God? Have I disabled God, per se, that I'm just not letting him make me victorious, leading me from victory to victory? And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they refreshed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Do we have that type of courage? That when there's a battle, that we go and fight? When we know that God has empowered us to be victorious, then we will rise up and we will go and we will fight. It's very clear. But if we are already doubting God over certain circumstances that we're experiencing, then how can God? We're going to run. And Saul said to David, thank you for the water, by the way. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Seeing, this was the problem he had, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And I see something here, and when we fight battles for others, David was not just concerned about himself. He had just come there now. It wasn't that he was enlisted in the army or anything. But he came on behalf of the people even. David said, Moreover, the Lord hath The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. Now listen where the honor goes. Listen where the glory goes. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. The armor of man or the flesh? And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. What armor did David prove? He knew what he was talking about, because God had already gave him victories. He had proved that this armor that God was able to supply to him was sufficient to fight, to be victorious. So he put this armor off. The flesh has to go. We want to read yet in Romans chapter 8. We walk not after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit. We walk after God because we have proved him. When there has been victories in our life and God has enabled us to be victorious, we've already proved that. So are we going to just stand there and let this Goliath defy the armies of the living God? Are we going to just stand there and be defeated in the personal battles that we go through? Or are we going to allow God, because we've proved him over and over, to work a victory that he wants to work? And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? You come to me with a stick? Am I a dog? This Philistine did not realize what David was coming with. He wasn't fighting against David. It looked as if he was fighting against David, but we're going to see what he says. And this is, all not new to us. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Goliath thought he would fight against David and did not realize with what power David came. Does the enemy realize what kind of power is at work in us? He knows. But when we don't yield to God, then that power is not able to fulfill what God wants to do. It's a yielding, saying, yes, Lord, I know that you have what it takes. I'm not going in my own strength. I'm just yielding ourselves to him. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh. Sorry, I said dogs before. And I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, thou camest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You have defied God, and I'm coming in his name. Goliath was mocking God and his people. Look at what happens to the enemy when we embrace the power of God. Glory to God. What happens to the enemy when we yield to God's power? He's struck dead. He is not able to do what he intended to do. It is the devil wants the same thing for us. He wants us dead. In the last days, if he can make us powerless because we don't embrace or yield to God's power, he wants to do the same thing to us. He wants our flesh to be fed to the birds and to the beasts of the field. He wants our lives to be destroyed. And how much better can he do that than if we believe him and say, yeah, I am powerless. But what are we doing to God when we walk in that way? How does God feel when we don't listen to the words that we find right here, this type of power? Then he says that he will pour out his spirit. He will give us his spirit, a spirit not of fear, but of power. And how many times do we yield to a spirit of fear instead of the spirit of power? This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now, with that last wording there, when we walk defeated as believers, and the people around us see how we walk, and we have not allowed God to give us these victories he wants us to have or experience, what happens to the testimony of God? Are we giving a true testimony of God when we do not allow God to give us these victories? We're actually putting God's testimony down. That all the earth may know that there is a God in the Church of Cross Keys. And these believers, I know that God exists because they are walking from victory to victory. I'm not here tonight to say that we're going to walk in perfection. We all, you know, we have failings and we do things that we shouldn't do. But I'm saying tonight that it is possible that we can walk from victory to victory when we yield to God and we embrace the power that he gives to us. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle that you and I are going through is the battle of the Lord. And he knows that we don't have personally what it takes. And that's why he was willing not only to send Christ to redeem us, but to give us the power we needed to be victorious. And he will give you into our hands, he says. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. When God's power comes, the enemy's power is gone. But it all depends personally on whom are we yielding to. Where do we set our trust? Or do we let the enemy just speak these lies and say, oh, just be afraid. You don't have what it takes. You'll never win. You'll never be victorious. When we allow that, then we don't need to expect any victories. But when we say, I am coming in God's name, I'm coming in the power that he's given me, and we trust that, then there is victory. I read this here to give us a clear picture of what God wants to do through the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have battles. We have Goliaths in our lives that defy God. The purpose of the enemy is always to defy God and put God down. And when we yield to that, God's name gets put down. But when we yield to the Spirit, then God's name gets lifted up. God gets glory. How will we fight these battles? Or do we just shrink back like Israel did? Look how many believers, if we can say this like this, how many believers does it take that the whole army is saved? It took just one person to allow God's power to work, and there was a victory. And the children of Israel, they saw what had happened here. How many people here does it take that the whole church could be encouraged and say, glory to God. You overcame. You won this battle. Glory to God, because you yielded to God. To me, it's just when you start looking at this, it's just like, wow. One person yielding can make this huge difference. Our own battle gear cannot save us. Do you have what it takes to win personally? Can your flesh somehow sum up enough good things or enough power that you can win? No. You and I have to rely on the power that God wants to invest in our lives to walk in this. Excuse me, it must be God's gear, if we can say it that way. It's His Spirit. And I started with how much power does God have in the Son and the Spirit? Because we have to see that, we have to recognize that the power that has been invested into our lives is sufficient. If God is all powerful, and He's willing to give us all power when He invests His Spirit into our lives, how much power is that? It's all power. Have we limited God somehow by thinking that the Spirit was not that powerful? Maybe we've never seen this before. God's Spirit is all powerful. The three are one. They don't differ from each other. David walked with God, therefore he, with boldness, allowed God to use him to fight this battle. He was walking with God. This wasn't something that was, you know, something he hadn't experienced before. He walked with God, so he knew the power that God had, and therefore he just simply yielded to that power. His complete confidence was in God's name. And I already asked the question, is the enemy any match for God? The enemy's power is not anything compared to the power of God. We know what happens to the enemy in the end. He's going to be taken care of. The victory's won. Are we yielding to that victory? Just going to read through some scriptures here. So 1 John 4, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do we believe that? We must believe that. If God has poured his Spirit into our lives, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. What does that mean for us then? That means that we walk in victory. Doesn't mean we don't have temptations. It doesn't mean that we don't face things, that we don't face battles. It just simply means that we have the power to overcome, because God is willing to invest that into us. And then we read a verse in 2 Timothy. Verse 7 and 8. Actually, I have 7 through 14 here. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Again, I just love when you start looking at some of these things. It's just like amazing. He's lifting up God's power. Talks about the Spirit. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He knows, he knew whom he had believed in, and he was persuaded that he could keep him. Are we persuaded that God can keep us? Do we know whom we believe? Do we realize how great he is? How powerful he is? I believe God wants us to experience that for a testimony that he receives glory. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thy keeping by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in thee. By the Holy Spirit, he was supposed to keep this. Just love the wording there. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But ye shall receive power after that that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Power. Just the wording again. The power of God's Spirit. God coming into our lives. Power. You'll be witnesses. If we're defeated, we're not going to share. I know that. When there's been times where I've yielded to the enemy's tactics, well, you know, it's nothing with you, you're defeated, and we just walk around shamefully because, you know, maybe we haven't yielded to God. Are we then witnesses? But just the opposite is true. When we embrace God's power through his Holy Spirit in our lives, we will be sharing because the testimony will just flow out. God's going to receive glory from our lives because we know who is in us and we know whom we're walking with. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. What power? Same thing that he was talking about there in Acts. Endued with power from on high. Then I want to read here in Romans 8. And we know these things. Romans 8, I don't think, is an unfamiliar chapter to us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So the condemnation is gone. Okay? And that is a work of God through Christ on the cross. Who walk not after the flesh, he says, but after the Spirit. We yield to the Spirit. And when we look at it in light of the power of God's Spirit, then this starts making sense. To me, it just was like my eyes were open, like, wow. It's not some, you know, take these steps and then things are going to go better. No, it's simply yielding to God's power. God, you've given me the Spirit to overcome. That's why there's not death. That's why there's not condemnation. Because I'm yielding to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. There wasn't redemption in us keeping the law.
We couldn't somehow sum up enough good things that thereby we could be saved and no longer condemned. Christ came and he finished that on the cross. But God did not leave it there. He sent his Holy Spirit to endue us with power. And when we yield, there's victory. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. How does it get fulfilled? When we yield to the Spirit. When we yield to God's victories. Who gets glory? God does. What happens when man thinks that he's got enough things, good things that he can do, that somehow he's getting favor with God? Then man gets glory. But in this case, when we read other scriptures, that it's not that we receive glory, but God receives glory. It starts making sense. I'm yielding to God's Spirit because he's invested power into my life that I can walk victorious. Then God receives all the glory. I don't have to walk around anymore thinking, no, I'm somehow making it. No, then there's, can you imagine how our faces will shine when we yield to this? I know whom I have believed in, and I know that he's going to take me through. Then it's all of a sudden the weight is off my own shoulders. It's not about how well I perform, but it's how well do I yield? Am I yielding? When that yielding happens, then there's victories. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You mind the things of the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, you mind the things of the Spirit. Our whole demeanor, our character, everything is going to be changed because there's life. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we yield to the flesh, we can't please God. But when we yield to his Spirit and embrace his power that he has invested into us, what happens? We please God because we're simply just trusting him, saying, you have what it takes, Lord. Just work it through me. Work it in my life. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Starts making sense when you look at it this way. If the Spirit is not there, then there's not going to be victories. You're not going to live out the righteous requirements that are there. But if the Spirit is there, we can live it. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Just so beautiful. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken also your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. He's going to quicken us to life. Life is going to, you know, even if we die, life, we're going to have life. This same Spirit that raised up Christ is dwelling in us. What kind of power raised up Christ? It was God. God had that type of power. Christ said, I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it. That same power invested into our lives, what does that look like? Life from the dead. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to live to the flesh. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through... Now listen to this verse. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That sums the whole thing up. If you mortify, you put to death those deeds that the body wants to do, then ye shall live. Who gets glory? God does. The Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. When we mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit, love the wording here, just puts the whole thing together. When the Spirit is in us and we allow the Spirit's power to kill the deeds of the flesh, we have life. We live. And this is what is missing And a lot of people, they do not understand that they need this to be able to walk in victory. And somehow, we get this idea that if I perform well enough, if I just, you know, the culture that I grew up in, if we have the steel wheels, somehow I'm going to make it. If we don't put rubber on our tractors, somehow I'm going to make it. If we don't have electricity, somehow I'm going to make it. But I tell you today that that is a false teaching. If you allow God's Spirit to work to mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. It's God enabling us to walk this way. And it is very evident at the same time, it's not that we throw off, cast off all restraint. When the Spirit is there, there is restraint. Because then the body, the flesh, does not get its way. Because then we're not living after the flesh. We're being guided by the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Glorious. And then 1 John 5, verse 18 through 21. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. We know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. Why? Because when the Spirit is working there, we don't deliberately go after those things. But the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Who protects him? God protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against the evil. Preserves him against evil. And the wicked one does not lay hold, get a grip on him, or touch him. Could Goliath touch David when he came in God's name? The scripture tells us here that the enemy cannot touch him. He cannot lay a hold on us as he would like to. But when we yield to his tactics and we say, well, you know, I just don't have what it takes, then we're allowing the enemy to do something that he has no power to do in our lives. He doesn't have authority. Because of Christ in our lives, because of God's Spirit in our lives. And that's why we don't go deliberately sinning. When you think of yourself and you think of the power that you yourself personally have, then we know that we don't have what it takes, and we very quickly can fall into things. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about yielding to God. Just simply saying, yes, Lord, give me the victory, because I know you have what it takes. We know positively that we are of God, and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. And we have seen and know positively that the Son of God has actually come to this world and has given us understanding and insight progressively to perceive, recognize, and come to know better and more clearly him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This man is the true God and life eternal. Little children, keep yourselves from idols, false gods, from anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart due to God. When we are converted, the place in our heart that should be filled should only be filled with God. I'm going to read it again. Little children, keep yourselves from idols, false gods, from anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart due to God. This is God's place. The enemy has no room in this place to defy the living God. He has no room in this place to tell us that we do not have victory. It's only when we yield to the flesh and when we yield to the fears and things that the enemy wants to distract us with. From any sort of substitute for him that would take first place in your life. Amen. So let it be. Let God have his place. Let God have his place that he deserves in our lives because he's given us eternal life. I just have one more verse I want to read here. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I'm going to read it in the King James and then the Amplified. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Again, the power, the word power is right there again. The Spirit of God is powerful. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope, a living hope. So that's what I have to share with you tonight. We are in the end times, and the enemy is raging. He is seeking to destroy, to kill. He does not want us to embrace God's victory. But I'm here to say that there's victory to those of us who yield to God's Spirit. And if we have failed, we can stand up boldly and again just embrace that same power. Because God wants to receive glory from his people. And he wants us to be a testimony to the world of him. So may God bless you.